Yeah, pal, and you've earned yourself a Winston.
Yeah, Winston. That's the one with filter blend up front.
Sure, that's the big difference, Barney. Winston picks out special tobaccos.
Then treats them their own special way.
If you're looking for a filter cigarette, you ought to smoke Winston.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, from Vancouver, British Columbia, we bring you a man who traveled all the way from another nation to get an ovation at the station and only got it from a relation. And here he is, Jack Benny.
Thank you, thank you. Thank you. You mean marriage relation, you know? Hello again, this is Jack Benny talking, and it's sure swell to be here. Yes, Don, here we are in Vancouver. What a beautiful city.
It certainly is, Jack. It's so picturesque with its snow-capped mountains right across the harbor.
And that Vancouver Hotel, did you ever see anything so luxurious?
Broadcasting from Vancouver, British Columbia, you are listening to Laugh Tracks, a show about comedy on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver and on the internet, the Generation Exploitation Podcast. Thanks for joining us. My name is Cliff Nesteroff. There we heard some groovy music from the soundtrack to a film called Viva Max. Hugo Montenegro composed that groovy ditty titled Sentry's Charge. This film, which I've never seen, featured a pretty good cast, including Jonathan Winters, John Astin, who you know from The Addams Family, Harry Morgan, who you know from MASH, Keenan Wynn, Peter Ustinov, a lot of people. This edition of the Generation Exploitation Podcast, we're going to listen to some Christian stand-up comedy from a guy named Mike Warnke. We're also going to listen to right now some records by The Letter People, and The Letter People was the name of a PBS children's show which broadcasted in the early 70s, started in 1972, and the letter people were letters that could talk and sing and walk and things like this. And I have a collection of records. They released a song for each letter of the alphabet. We're going to listen to a bunch of these right now. First, part one in the series, all about the letter people, introducing the letter people program. Side one.
Mr. M, with a munching mouth. My mouth must munch, munch, munch. My mouth has lunch, lunch, lunch.
Hi, Michael.
Hi, Jenny.
I came over to play with you. What are you doing?
I'm listening to my records.
That's Mr. M.
You know Mr. M?
Yes. I'm Mr. M, with a munching mouth. Mr. M used to be my best letter friend.
Do you to hear more Letter People records?
Yes! Play Mr. T! Play Mr. T! He was my best letter friend!
Oh, right, Jenny.
Tall, my teeth are so tall, terrifically tall.
I remember my father put a picture of Mr. T next to my toothbrush.
Do you have tall teeth?
Let's listen to another record.
Good.
Well, I'm so happy to be Miss A. And I'm so happy to be
Miss A, Miss A. She was my best friend. When my mom heard her add chew, she said, bless you.
all day I'm sneezing at you.
Bless you.
I get happy at you.
Bless you.
To put my letter people stuff away now.
Can we play more records tomorrow?
Yes. You know, I'm going to give them to my baby sister when she gets bigger.
Then your dad will play letter people games with her.
I'm going to play too.
Can I play? Can I play?
Yes, Jenny. You know, the letter people will be my friends even when I'm bigger.
Me too, me too.
I am a supersonic streak in the sky. Mr. S to the rescue, they cry. Straight on Super Sox, we've got to stop that train.
I'm an optimist. Optimistic optimist, the most optimistic optimist, you know, I'm Miss O. I'm an optimist.
She's an optimist.
An optimistic optimist.
An optimist.
The most optimistic optimist, you know.
We know.
I'm Miss O.
I'm quite complex, and my foot is just exactly where my hand should be. I am made all wrong. Where do I belong? When the parts all mixed and in betwixt belong to me? I am Mr. X, and I'm quite complex, and my front is now exactly where my back should be. I am made all wrong. Where do I belong? When my right side up is upside down and under me. Quite complex X, I, Mr. Quite am feet. Just exactly hand should mix belong the back of me. Mr. Front, all wrong. Right upside is when. Down exactly where my X and back is wrong should be.
Wrong. All wrong. All wrong. All wrong. Mr. X, you are mixed up and all wrong. 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 Wrong.
Mr. Why? Oh, why, oh, why am I always yawning? Oh, I am so tired of yawning. I have to yawn. Oh, well, I bet I can make you yawn too, but you have to yawn politely, as I do. Now put your hand in front of your mouth. That's the polite way. Ready? Yawn. Oh, why do I yawn all day? Oh, why do I feel this way? Why is my mouth always open so? Why am I yawning, always yawning? I don't know. I'm yawning, yawning, yawning. I'm Mr. Why.
Can be and cool as a cucumber. I am Mr. C. For you I cry and go to bat. You can count on me like a cow and alley cat. I'm cute and sweet, don't you agree? I'm just a cloud of cotton candy, Mr. C. Culprit. Canna, canna, coo, coo, coo. you see? And cunning as can be, and cool as a cucumber, I am Mr. C. For you I cry and go to bat. You can trust me like you trust an alley cat. I'm cute and sweet, don't you agree? You agree? I'm just a cloud of cotton candy, Mr. C. I'm just a cloud of cotton candy, Mr. C.
You're still listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver and the Generation Exploitation Podcast. My name is Cliff Nestroff. We were just listening to a series of tracks by The Letter People, a PBS children's show from the early 1970s produced out of St. Louis, Missouri. We just heard the letter C, the letter Y, Mr. X, who is very strange and scary, and Miss O, as well as the introduction to the Letter People record series, 7-inch. All of these 7-inch singles, one letter on each side. The Letter People, some fun and groovy stuff. And I've actually played the song by the letter S on this podcast a couple times before, so I didn't play it today, but you can fish around on previous podcasts and find it. And it is definitely the best of the lot. Now we're going to move on to comedy records, since this is supposed to be a show about comedy. We're going to listen to some tracks by a guy named Mike Warnke, who was a very popular Christian comedian in the 1970s. And he also used to do speaking tours, and he wrote a book in which he claimed that in his younger days he used to be a drug-taking Satanist, and then he eventually found Jesus and became a stand-up comedian to spread the word with good humor. Until it was discovered that this was a complete fabrication, that Mike Warnke lied and was fabricating this history to make himself sound like more of a fascinating case than he actually was. When it was discovered that he was lying about his past and that he actually was born and raised in a fundamentalist Christian family and had been Christian his entire life, he was banished from the Christian comedy community for lying. And now he struggles to get back onto the Christian comedy circuit, but everybody knows his sordid past, and very few in the Christian community are forgiving of Mike Warnke. We're going to listen to stuff off a couple of awful albums, one called Mike Warnke, Hey Doc, and another one called Mike Warnke, A Live. It's Mike Warnke Live, but Mike Warnke, A Live. Get it?
The Lord says that we're supposed to get his mind. I'm sure glad I got his mind. I'm glad I don't have to rely on mine. You know? I mean, really, you know, and luck. Did you ever hear anybody say, hey, good luck? Oh, please. Don't ever wish me my own luck, please. Don't ever say, hey, hope you have good luck, or hope your luck holds out, Mike. Don't ever hope that my luck holds out, because I don't have any at all. I mean, I'm the kind of guy, you could go out, it could be raining soup. I'd get hit in the mouth with a bale of hay. I mean, I went to Vietnam, right? I joined the Navy, first of all. I joined the Navy because, quite frankly, I wanted to stay away from the Marine Corps. I mean, I wanted to serve my country, but I wasn't crazy, you know what I mean? I want to get in the water. I want to jump down out of a pine tree. I want to kill them and jump on them, you know? Hey, you know, that's part of the Marine Corps anthem. I mean, woo, you know, and these guys are, they are hardcore. Not me, man. And I didn't want to be in the Army, because who wants to be called a dog face? I mean, I got enough problems with this as it is, you know? Nah, you know. So I decided to join the Navy because I figured if I got killed, I'd be clean. I mean, if they blow a boat out from under you, at least you die in the water, you know, and that's cool with me. And when I got in the Navy, just to show you what kind of luck I got, when I got in the Navy, see, I went to a place in boot camp called classification. Now, classification in the Navy is where they let you pick out what they want you to be. See, And they had a list of things that you could be, you know, possible job selections. And I went down a list and I saw the word cook. Now look at me. I look like a cook. I mean, I am shaped like a cook. See this? This is a cook's tum-tum. This is known as being a full gospel preacher. I mean, I have generally always had one of those, except for two times. Once I had dysentery and once I was on heroin, neither of which I recommend as a dietary method because they're bummers. But anyway, I said to the guy, oh, I want to be a cook, man. I want to be a cook, man. I don't, you know, because I'm thinking in the back, I get all the scraps, you know, and so, you know, you hang around enough garbage cans, you think that way. Anyway, so I say, I want to be a cook. And the guy goes, hey, man, why is it at classification they have these guys with the voices that could convince you of anything, you know? What you need is an Edsel. Yeah, man, I could really use an Edsel. Nobody could use an Edsel, but the guys in classification could sell you an Edsel, you know? And they go, he went, oh, man, you don't want to be a cook. I go, oh, you know, I was still pretty much of a hippie then. I went, oh, man, what do I want to be, man? He said, you don't want to be a cook. What you want to be is a hospital corpsman. I went, oh, man. Well, I mean, what do they do, you know? He says, they hand out drug nurses. And I went, oh, man. Sign me up, man. I mean, that is right down my alley, you know. Doping women for pay, far out, you know. So he said, okay, just sign right here. Put first choice by Corman. I put first choice. He said, okay, sign right here. So I got out the pen, and I'm signing my name, you know. And I had been doing a lot of dope, so I wrote a lot slower, you know. I felt a lot bigger with one. I felt a lot better with one of those pencils that's about the size of a horse's leg, you know. And just as I got to the K-E and Warnke, and I went, he went, zap, yanked the paper 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 went, zap, yank 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 the paper went, zap, yank.
That's Mike Warnke, Christian comedian, off his 1978 record Hey Doc, that track called Hippie's Luck, and then, as you heard, the record started skipping, and then Julie London started singing, and then Satan himself came up from the ground, and Mike Warnke lost his mind. Mike Warnke. And you can read more about Mike Warnke in an article that I have recently written for Radio WFMU's website, Beware the Blog, at blog.wfmu.org. Also, there's a lot of really interesting information on the Mike Warnke Wikipedia page, which pretty much gives you everything that you would ever want to know or need, including everything that I have in my article. The only difference is my article is a little bit more sarcastic and perhaps condescending.
Restaurant in Louisville, Kentucky. Blind people don't have to ask what's on the menu. They can read it themselves in Braille. The Braille menus are there because a group of local people thought it would be a good idea. They got together and made it happen. In fact, all across America, both disabled and non-disabled people are participating in similar community programs. In Vernon Parish, Louisiana, they're modifying disabled people's homes to make them more accessible. And in Champaign, Illinois, disabled children are able to share a playground because a group of volunteers got involved. This is the National Year of Disabled Persons. Is this the year you get involved? Call the office of your mayor or county commissioner for more information. A public service on behalf of the National Office on Disability from the Ad Council and this station.
How about a vacation trip to Washington State this year? Sound like fun? Well, here's a platter of fun-like sounds to help make your holiday begin on a happy note. So sit back and follow the soundtracks of Washington from its ocean beaches to its Indian stomping grounds. To steer through this colorful Northwest Passage, we've assembled a trio of well-known Washington guides, Bing Crosby, Patrice Munzel, and Martha Wright. First, let's take a compass bearing from a Broadway star who just can't wash the North Pacific from her hair.
My favorite stage role, as you might guess, was Nellie Forbush in South Pacific. My favorite real-life role, Martha Wright of Duval, Washington. Oh, yes, you certainly can find Duval on a map, but you can't really discover it until you turn down the valley road for a visit.
There's another tonic of outdoor tones to be heard in Washington, the shush of a pair of skis, the crack of a driver meeting a golf ball, the flap of a sail, the rush of an untamed river, and the whine of a reel. Now listen to a victim of all those siren calls, Washington's own Bing Crosby.
I like to remember the Pacific Northwest as a land that can put a song in your heart. You know, when I was a kid around Spokane and Tacoma, the song was usually carried in a sort of an off-key whistle.
Yes, seeing Washington can be a star-spangled experience. But just to make that holiday a happy one, listen to One More Sound. That's right. Telephone ahead for reservations, or look up Travel Agent in the Yellow Pages. Bing Crosby and Patrice Munzel will continue this journey in sounds on the other side. Now, while you're up, might we suggest a sound that'll really make you flip? The bite of a juicy Washington apple. Delicious, that is.
I'd like to introduce to you again Mike Warnke, not because he needs introduction. I just want to warn you he's coming, okay?
I feel like a limbo star with all these bars and stuff everywhere. I get to be the preacher. Although I'm not very good at it, I'm not a very good preacher at all. I'm a fairly decent storyteller, but I never did make it as a, you know, bony fidey, straight, cool, pulpit, Sunday type preacher person. Not that there's anything wrong with those dudes. They're cool. Or dudesses, if it happens to be a lady. But I tried it, you know. When I first got into the ministry, I got me a Dave Wilkerson suit. I got my hair styled. And I took elocution lessons to make me enunciate my words properly. And I went down to coffee house and I said, "Good evening, everyone. It's so wonderful to see you all here." And they all went, "Oh, wow, man, the guy has flipped out." And I kept trying and it kept blowing it. And so I went to the Lord and I said, "Hey, God, what's the matter? I'm doing what you want me to do." And he said, "Oh, yeah? Who told you?" I said, "You mean I'm not doing what you want me to do?" He says, "I don't know. I can't figure out who you are anymore." He said, "You know, Mike, I called you. I didn't call your imitation of Billy Graham. I didn't call your imitation of Dave Wilkerson. I didn't call your imitation of Nicky Cruz. I called you. And if you want to be the kind of Christian I want you to be, then you're going to be you, and you're going to be you for me. You're going to bloom where you're planted, Mike. You're going to do what you can do for me." And I love the Lord so much for that. And I get so tired of people that get out their big cookie cutter and get out the dough of what Christians are and go, "That's a Christian, and if you don't fit into that mold, why, you just aren't saved." Nah, you know. Hey. I figure if you have to. I figure if you have to take a cookie cutter to the dough and cut the Christian out of it, that means you leave a lot left over. Because, you know, when you make a cookie, you leave a lot left over after you cut the cookie out, right? Well, what I want to know is, if God didn't want all that dough in the Christian, how come he made it all in the first place? And if you have to use your cookie cutter to cut out what a Christian looks like, that means you think God doesn't know when's enough. And I'm not the one to say that. Amen? Amen. That's why I like the Lord for being a personal Savior who knows about me and knows about my personality and is willing to love me like I am, which is a good thing. Oh, me. I'm glad the Lord has a sense of humor, too. He has to have servants like me. Well, don't laugh. He has to have servants like you, too.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's my distinct pleasure to introduce to you tonight Rose and Mike Warnke.
I'm really glad to be back. You know, there's been a lot of talk going around how this ministry has really changed in the last couple of years and how we're getting a little bit more deep and there's a little bit more meat in the soup, you know what I mean? And people have really been wondering about how this has affected the comedy, and we'd just like to tell you, not much. Did you ever notice about TV commercials? TV commercials are the biggest ripoff in this whole world. They are not only selling us stuff that we don't need to use in places that we don't have, to spend money that we can't earn, but everybody in them commercials is good-looking, rich, and skinny. You know? As some of the commercials are a little bit more realistic. I mean, they first show you somebody ugly and fat, but then he eats this marmalade and he gets skinny, rich, and good-looking, you know? You know? I dig these commercials where the guy comes. There's this one right now that's killing me, see? Man comes, that's got gray hair. Now, commercials about gray hair didn't mean much to me when I was 20, but now I'm a little years old. And I have a married daughter and a son-in-law that knows karate, and that's how he got married to her. He jumped into the kitchen one night and said, "I want to marry your kid." And I said, "Okay." Don't hurt me. So now I got this married daughter, see, and I got this son-in-law, and commercials about gray-headed people are becoming more and more salient to my particular situation in life, see? Because, like I say, if they go ahead and have babies as young as they are, I could be a grandfather anytime. Me, Mike Warnke, a grandfather. That's why I got the haircut. That's why I got the blue coat, man. You know, you can't have a grandkid and be walking around with hair down to here going, "Say, baby, what's happening?" You know?
Some more Mike Warnke. That last track off an LP titled Higher Education, Mike and Rose Warnke, now performing with his wife, although we didn't hear her there. And that last one was recorded in 1982 at Southwest Baptist University in Bolivar, Missouri. And Warnke was just killing there. But before that, we heard track off Mike Warnke, Alive, 1975, Fort Wayne, Indiana, and he seemed to be bombing there, or at least not telling any jokes. And I should note that the first Mike Warnke record that we listened to, Hey Doc, a little while ago, was recorded live in Wichita, Kansas. So that's where the core base, I guess, for Mike Warnke's fandom was. Also in this set, we listened to a series of promotional singles, one called Washington Holiday with the voice of Bing Crosby in there, encouraging you to take a vacation to Washington State. And that record appears to be from 1960 or so, produced by Pacific Northwest Bell. I am going to assume that is the phone company. Before that, we heard a promo advocating National Disabled something or other. This record put out by the National Office on Disability. Please discontinue use as of January 15th, 1983, is what it says on the label here. Put out by the volunteer agency Needham, Harper & Steers, and the Ad Council. So I guess that is one of those promo records that would have been sent to radio stations to play. And before that, we heard a groovy little instrumental by a group called The Sunglows. The track was called Happy Hippo on the Sunglow Recording Company label, put out in 1963, and that rock and roll instrumental was put out by The Sunglows, who were a bunch of kids from San Antonio, Texas, who put out a few instrumental singles and records in the late 50s, early 60s.
My goodness, these children always asking me about something. I don't know nothing to tell them, but it's your thing.
It's your thing.
Do what you want to do. Honey, mom can't tell you who to suck it to. It's your thing.
It's your thing.
Do what you want to do. I can't tell you who to suck it to. I only try to tell you what's wrong and what's right. But honey, I can't tell you where to hang out all night. But if you keep on walking,
I mean, if you walk me alone, you may not get back to your home sweet home. It's your thing. Do what you want to do. Mountain day. Who the fuck you do? Maybe it's your thing. Do what you want to do. I can't tell you who the fuck you do. You wanna do? I can't tell you who's talking to. Don't you know your own thing?
It's your thing.
Do what you wanna do. I can't tell you who the talking to. 'Cause I've got my thing, and I know what I wanna do. And I ain't gonna let you tell me who the talking to. I may be old and kinda been with you. But I'm still kind of a hill child without shifting my gear. I still
think
do what you want. I can't tell you who to suck it to. Maybe it's your thing.
It's your thing.
Do what you want to do. Don't let nobody tell you who to suck it to. Suck it to the east.
It's your thing.
Suck it to the west. Suck it to the world.
It's your thing
that you like best. Suck it,
it's your thing.
Suck it again. Suck it,
it's your thing.
I know where you been. But it's your thing.
It's your thing.
Do what you want to. I can't get it.
It's your thing.
Oh, suck it.
It's your thing.
Ow, what you want to do that for? Now I done told you about the sock.
It's your thing.
I'm like the wall set to the plug.
It's your thing.
Suck it. Suck
it. Suck
it. Suck it. Suck it. Suck it. Suck it. Suck it. I mean suck it. Oh, suck it.
It's your thing.
That's what I'm talking about. Let that be a lesson to you, Mr. Green.
Hello again, this is Jack Benny talking, and it's sure swell to be here. Yes, Don, here we are in Vancouver. What a beautiful city.
It certainly is, Jack. It's so picturesque with its snow-capped mountains right across the harbor.
And that Vancouver Hotel, did you ever see anything so luxurious?
Jack, that's one of the classiest hotels I was ever in.
No kidding.
Another thing, Jack, have you noticed how polite the people are here in Canada?
Polite? Yes, Don, I have.
Why, I even saw a war poster up here that said, please guard your speech, lest unknowingly you divulge vital information regarding military operations.
Well, that's nothing, Don. We have the same thing in Los Angeles, only it's a little more condensed. It just says, shut up. Anyway, Don, I agree with you that the... Come in.
Mr. Benny?
Yes?
I've been appointed by the mayor to welcome you to the city of Vancouver.
The mayor? Well, that's very nice.
I've lived here all my life, and if there are any places of interest you've missed, I'll be glad to point them out to you.
Well, let me see. I've been through Stanley Park, and then I...
Stanley Park?
Yes.
Where's that?
Why, it's right at the foot of Lionsgate Bridge.
Lionsgate Bridge?
Yes.
They have one here?
Of course. That's the bridge where Burrard Inlet meets English Bay.
English Bay?
Certainly. That's the body of water that practically surrounds the city.
Oh, so that's what that is.
Of course.
Oh, good. Is there anything else you'd like to know?
What did you come here for?
I told you. I've been appointed by the mayor to give you a welcome. And here it is. A one, a two.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Goodbye now.
Goodbye. Well, that was nice of him coming up here and playing that bagpipe, wasn't it, Don?
Yes, but it's such a peculiar instrument. The way it squeaks.
Don, you'd squeak too if somebody squeezed you around the middle. Anyway, it was a... Well, hello, Mary.
Hello, Jack. Hello, everybody.
Mary, how does it feel coming back to Vancouver, your old hometown?
Oh, it certainly is thrilling, Jack. As soon as we got here, I went down to Nelson Street. That's where I used to live, you know.
Yeah, you told me.
Then I visited King George High School. That's where I graduated from.
Brought back memories, huh?
It sure did. Just think, Jack, right here in Vancouver, I spent my girlhood days.
Gee, Vancouver, 1928.
Yeah.
You know, I spent my boyhood days in Waukegan.
Gee, Waukegan, 1883.
Hey, anyway, Mary, I'll say one thing. When you lived here in Vancouver, you lived in a great city. In fact, when I arrived, I drank a toast to it. Water, of course.
Why water, Jack?
Well, Don, you see, in British Columbia, they have a ruling that visitors must wait 5 days before they're eligible to purchase any spiritus fermenti.
Fermenti.
Yeah, that's the stuff that comes in pints, quarts, and W.C. Fields. You know, Mary, being in Vancouver brings back memories to me, too. When I was in Vaudeville, I played the Orpheum Theater many a time. Did you know that?
Did I know that? Jack, every time you played here, didn't you notice a little girl in the third row in the aisle seat with long blonde pigtails and a pink ribbon in her hair?
Well, I'll be darned. Was that you?
No, that was my mother.
Now, cut that out. You know, Mary, just because this is your hometown, you don't have to...
Hiya, Jackson. Okay, Vancouver, you've waited long enough. Here I am.
Oh, brother, what an entrance. Phil, what makes you such a ham?
Listen, Jackson, this may be news to you, but when you got talent, you can do anything.
Talent?
You see, Jack, you were wrong. Phil can do something.
Well, I didn't say Phil couldn't sing, Mary. I merely said that.
That ain't all, Jackson. You know I can make up jokes on the spurt of the moment.
Spurs of the moment.
Yeah, now look, get a load of this. You ask me, you say, ask me why the girls in Vancouver never take sun baths.
Oh, Phil, please.
Oh, Jack, ask them. What can you lose?
All right, Phil, why do the girls in Vancouver never take sun baths?
Because even the mountains peak. Sharp and your 5 days ain't even up yet.
Oh, you're a clown. Phil, if that's your idea of humor, come in.
Mr. Benny, I just found out that you're absolutely right.
About what?
That water out there is English Bay.
Well, dry yourself off and get out of here, will you?
Well, not yet. A one, a two, a three.
You gave me that welcome a few minutes ago.
I had some left over.
Good.
Goodbye now.
Goodbye, goodbye. What a guy. Please sit down, because right now I have an important announcement to make. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight this program is being honored with a very special guest. It is my pleasure to present to you the mayor of Vancouver, His Worship J.W. Cornett.
And it would be a shame to miss the chalet after coming so far.
Really?
Yes, Jack, it's one of the beauty spots of Canada.
Well, that settles it. I'll take your word for it. By the way, your worship. Worship,
I meant to ask you, did you send a man over here to welcome me?
Yes, I did.
Well, would you believe it? It was funny. That man lived here all his life, and he didn't know that the large body of water out there was English Bay.
Oh, is that what it is?
An interesting town. You should read those travel folders. Yeah. Well, Mayor Cornett, I want to thank you for appearing on our show. It's been a lot of fun, hasn't it?
It certainly has, Jack. And on behalf of my fellow Canadians, I want to thank you for coming here and playing such a fine part in our sixth victory loan.
You're very welcome. To be here, and before we continue our program, I'd like to say just a few words to our Canadian friends. Since our arrival in Vancouver, we have visited your hospitals and talked with your boys back from the battlefield. They can tell you why Canada's sixth victory loan must be an overwhelming success. You can put your dollars into the fight with them by buying Canada's sixth victory loan. You can support them worthily, but only if you put victory first. Thank you, Mayor Cornett. You know, you should. I'll take it. Hello?
Oh, hello, Morgan Rochester.
Where are you, Rochester, and what are you so excited about?
I'm at your hotel, and the most amazing thing happened. I changed a $10 bill, and they gave me $11 for it.
That's the rate of exchange up here in Canada.
My, my. How long has this been going on?
For years. Why?
Sounds like something you might have started.
Stop being so silly, and don't be too excited about getting $11 for 10. You lose that when you go back.
What did you say, boss?
I said, don't be too excited about getting $11 for 10. You lose that when you go back.
Who's going back?
You are. We are. We're leaving Tuesday morning.
You mean we're departing from this monetary paradise?
Certainly, we got to get back. We have a lot of things to do besides Rochester. Money isn't that important.
Boss, you talk like a man whose 5 days are already up.
Never mind. Just be sure you have everything packed. We're catching the boat on Tuesday morning.
Oh, no, boss, not a boat. Last time we were on a boat, I got so sick I turned green.
You turned green?
Yeah, for me, that ain't easy.
Look, Rochester, there's nothing to worry about. This will be a nice, smooth trip. I'll see you after the show. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Oh, say, boss.
What now?
Can I speak to Mr. Dennis?
Why, yeah, sure. Dennis, Rochester wants to talk to you.
Okay. Hello, Rochester.
Hello, Mr. Day. Congratulations, best wishes, and good luck in the Navy.
Thank you, Rochester.
And, by the way, you know that sailor suit Mr. Benny promised to give you?
Uh-huh.
I wouldn't take that if I were you.
Why?
The Moors opened up a second front and started to blitz where he did.
For telling me, Rochester. Goodbye.
Goodbye, and good luck.
You've just heard something that nobody outside of McDonald's has ever heard. The music to a brand new McDonald's song. That's right. On May 7, 1979, McDonald's will be introducing a new song and a new advertising campaign to the country. And because the strength of this new campaign is you, our crew, we wanted you to know about it and to hear it before anyone else does. After all, you're the reason that nobody can do it like McDonald's can. Nobody can do it like McDonald's can. That's a strong statement, but one that's believable. And the best evidence of that is your dedication to QSC&V, quality, service, cleanliness, and value. Things that have kept people coming back for almost 25 years. And no one appreciates you more than Ray Kroc, founder and senior chairman of the board of McDonald's. Here he is with a special message just for you.
As you probably know by now, we've got a new theme. Nobody can do it like McDonald's can. Now, we all know that, but we want to let the customers know it, too. A friendly smile from you goes a long way. Without you as the liaison between McDonald's Corporation and the customer, we're dead. You're one of the most important people in the whole corporation, and nobody appreciates that fact more than I do. God bless. Nobody can do it like
McDonald's can. This new song not only reflects everything that McDonald's stands for, but in the coming months, you're going to hear how it reflects the entire spectrum of musical tastes. Like McDonald's, there's a little something for everyone. For instance, if you like disco, so now you know. A new song and advertising campaign are on the way. And we wouldn't be doing it with such confidence if it hadn't been for you. So thank you. And keep up the good work. And never forget.
Nobody can sing a summer song like you.
Just a couple minutes left here now on the Generation Exploitation Podcast and Laugh Tracks, the show about comedy on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. Just enough time to tell you what you've been listening to. You've been listening to an awful 1979 McDonald's Evatone sound sheet. An Evatone sound sheet, one of those flexi records that you used to have to put like a coin on. You usually find them in magazines and things like that. This one's called McDonald's Presents. Copyright the McDonald's Corporation for the exclusive use of McDonald's Corporation and its licensees. Music and a special message for crew members from Ray Kroc, who was the CEO of McDonald's, who sounded like he was crazy, drunk, and insane in that clip. Without you with the liaison, we're dead. A McDonald's Evatone sound sheet from 1979. A lot of fun. Before that, we're listening to an episode of The Jack Benny Show, recorded live in Vancouver, April 23rd, 1944, recorded at the Orpheum Theater on Granville Street here in Vancouver. Jack Benny and his cast flew up to Canada to help the Canadian war effort, and his wife and fellow cast member, Mary Livingston, was actually originally from Vancouver, as was referenced in that episode that we listened to. And we started off that set with a song by the great Moms Mabley, the great comedy queen of the Apollo stage, this off one of her last albums on Mercury Records. All tracks of Moms Mabley singing on this album, as opposed to doing stand-up like she usually would do. Covering the Isley Brothers' It's Your Thing off the Mercury LP, Abraham, Martin, and John, Moms Mabley. She also covers that song, the title track, on this album as well. That does it for Laugh Tracks. Thanks very much for listening. We'll talk to you soon. Good night. I am in paradise.
make it.